Through the years, our Lord has given me many, many opportunities to serve as a faith coach. Not because my faith is particularly special, maybe because I've failed so often to faithfully apply the truth of faith in my own life. I can assure you that faith is not something that just comes easily to me. And I haven't reached some kind of special higher level of faith personally. Any success I've experienced in applying faith in my life is entirely, 100%, a miraculous work of God. But my journey of faith began a very long time ago, and it is a journey I have not yet finished, nor one that I ever expect to finish. And along the way, there are times when our Lord gives me opportunity for conversation with people about faith. Not infrequently, I talk to people who say they have no faith. I remember one particular conversation with a woman named Shuku. I was sitting beside her on a plane, and it was quite a while ago, back when people actually had conversations with each other on planes. During our conversation, we came around to talking about faith, and she told me, "I was raised to believe in nothing." Can you imagine? A life without faith. Maybe you or someone you know would say they don't have faith. The truth is, there's no one who believes in nothing. Everyone has some kind of faith. So it's worth our time to give some attention to knowing the truth about faith, which is our focus this morning. I'm going to share with you some universal principles from Scripture about faith. What's true all the time in every situation for everybody. It's important for all of us to be clear that the truths I'm sharing with you are not mere conclusions drawn from human examination or deliberation. They're not limited to enlightenment gained from mere human meditation or contemplation. They're not just results of human inspection or reflection. I'm not going to share with you today my personal perspective or opinion or insight. I'm going to share with you universal principles that are truths revealed to us by the one who is truth himself, by his Spirit, with his word. And my desire is to do that in a way that our Lord will use to reveal truth to you. And that's not something I can do on my own. It'll require a work of God in me and in you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, eternal God of truth, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds as you lead us in truth, with truth, to truth, that we may honor you in spirit and truth in both word and deed. For we earnestly and humbly seek to be the illuminators and instruments of truth that you call and empower us to be as individuals and as a church. Amen. So the question that is our focus, can you double check about the PowerPoint? Click. The question that is our focus today comes from Lord Jesus himself. It's a question he asked, thank you. It's a question he asked his disciples when they felt overwhelmed by their circumstances. Luke 8, verse 25 records that Lord Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" And that's the question our Lord is asking you today. Where is your faith? Now, with this question, our Lord is not saying, "I can't see where your faith is." This is a question our Lord confronts us with that asks, "Where is your faith in?" Where is your faith placed? Where is your faith anchored? And in order for us to answer this question adequately, we need to know the truth about faith. We need to be clear about what faith is, how we can be sure of it, and why it matters. So let's get started. First, the substance of faith, what it is. Almost everyone you ask would tell you that faith is believing. And that sounds right to us. But most people understand very little about what that even means. Sure, in Hebrews 11:6, the Spirit reveals that without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those seeking for Him. But what does it mean to believe in God? Most people recognize that believing in God means you believe that He exists, as the verse says. Even people who don't believe in Him know that that's what it would mean if you did. And they recognize that if you believe in God, then you believe that He will reward you for your belief. In fact, many people reject belief in God because they don't believe He's rewarding people who believe in Him the way they believe He should. And far too many who claim they believe in God expect that seeing Him as a rewarder of those who believe means that He's going to bless you immediately somehow to reward your belief in every single instance that you demonstrate your belief. In the way people would train a dog by rewarding it every time it obeys a command or does a trick. And they believe that faith means you believe all this about God in spite of what you know from experience or thinking about it. They will tell you that faith means that when everything about the situation tells you that something is impossible, and you have no reason to expect that what you want to happen could really happen, you just believe anyway, regardless of the facts, in spite of what you know. The Disney Company has made hundreds of billions of dollars over the past 100 years selling this idea that you just need to believe and your wish will come true. It's a marvelous fantasy, but it's not the truth. Disney is not God. They sell fairy tales that we all enjoy. I enjoy Disney, but fantasy is not faith. Wishing on a star is not faith. God Himself, by His Spirit, has revealed to us in Scripture the substance of faith. In Scripture, He provides us explanation, illustration, and demonstration of what faith is. And Hebrews chapter 11 is a great summary of the truth about faith. I already shared with you verse 6 from that chapter. Verses 1 and 2, Hebrews 11, give a core definition of faith. And if you haven't yet memorized Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, I encourage you to do that. They read, faith is the assurance of what's hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the elders were commended. Now, I want to remind you that in Scripture, hope, because it says that faith is the assurance of what's hoped for. But remember that in Scripture, hope is confident anticipation of what's promised, not a desperate wish for what's impossible. Now, most of the rest of Hebrews 11 is something of a faith hall of fame, recounting numerous named and unnamed men and women who were faith champions. And there are some summary verses in the chapter. They include the first two, which I just shared with you, verse 6, which I shared with you earlier, revealing that faith is believing that God exists and rewards those who seek Him, and verses 13 and 19. Verse 13 says, These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but afar off, having seen and having been convinced, and having welcomed them, and having affirmed that strangers and sojourners they were on the earth. And verse 39 echoes the same revelation. And all these, having been approved through their faith, did not receive what was promised. So putting all this together, taking Hebrews 11 as a whole and the testimony of Scripture, the Spirit reveals to us that faith is actively trusting promise as truth. Faith is actively trusting promise as truth. Faith is not some frantic, desperate wish that you're going to get something you really, really want because you really, really believe you'll get it. Faith is believing that what has been promised but is not yet will one day be. Faith is not wishing for something that you didn't really think you could ever come true. Faith is believing what you know is true, even if you can't see it yet. Faith is not wishing in spite of what you know. Faith is believing because of what you know. But please understand that faith is far more than just believing. Faith is acting on that belief. Faith is actively trusting what you believe. If I tell you that I believe the strength of this stage will hold my weight, but I never come up and stand on the stage, I may believe, but I'm not trusting. I'm not faithing. Faith is when I trust the stage by actually standing on it with my full weight. People display faith like this all the time. Your doctor writes a prescription that you cannot read, but you trust the pharmacist can. That's faith. You get in a car driven by someone you've never met, but you trust the rideshare company that sent the driver? That's faith. You use your phone to send a text message to someone and trust the carrier to deliver it? That's faith. You drive on the street or the freeway with people in cars you cannot control and trust they will, because they're only a few feet away from you. That's faith. And in all these situations, how much you trust matters very little. What is most important is whether or not those you trust are dependable. I'll come back to this in a few moments. So you can see that faith is trusting, and trusting is action, not mere opinion or perspective or attitude. When we trust, we act in ways that demonstrate what we believe. Faith is actively trusting. People display faith like this all the time. Every time you follow someone's directions or obey the voice coming from the GPS device, you're actively trusting. That's faith. Anytime you buy boxes, cans, packages of food at the grocery store, you're actively trusting that what's on the outside truthfully labels what's on the inside. That's faith. And faith is actively trusting promise as truth, acting on the trust that what has been promised is reliable and will be done. We display faith like this all the time. When you go to work on a job, you're depending on the promise that the people you work for will pay you. You work first, then you get paid. That's faith. When you spend some of that money you earn to pay for a new phone or streaming service, you're depending on the promise of the company you pay. That's faith. When you purchase something online, you're depending on the promise of whomever you're ordering from. When you buy something in a store, You can look at it. You can even try it on before you pay. When you buy something online, you pay in advance, trusting the reliability of the people you're buying from. That's faith. Faith is actively trusting promise as truth. That's the truth about the substance of faith, the truth about what faith is. Not only do we need to be clear about what faith is, we need to understand how faith works. What is its strength? Faith when we buy something or drive somewhere is important, but there are questions and issues that require our trust that are even more significant for us than that. When we trust someone who isn't trustworthy in everyday situations, when we're wrong about someone we thought was telling the truth, when we depend on someone who doesn't keep their promise, we're frustrated, perhaps hurt, maybe angry, and maybe even have some serious problems, but we aren't ultimately threatened. Usually we can do something about it, and the risk isn't limitless. But what about the bigger questions? For example, the question, how do I stop feeling bad after I've done something I know I shouldn't do? Like hurt someone's feelings or break a promise. Some people would tell you, trust me, just forget it, and eventually the feeling will go away. But I don't believe them. And the feeling doesn't go away. Well, what about the question, how do I break a habit that just won't let me go? Some will tell you, trust me, you just need to try harder. But I don't believe them. Obviously, they don't have my problem. What if your question is, how do I explain things that are unexplainable? I once knew of a pastor who suffered with a serious condition until he had to have a heart transplant. And the anti-rejection drugs he had to take in recovering from the transplant gave him cancer. And he was in pain for 8 years, and then he died. Now, someone insists, trust me, why ask why? But I don't believe him. The question doesn't stop. And what do you do about the question, how do I prepare for what happens after I die? Now, some will try to convince you that nothing happens after we die. But I don't believe them. They've never died. In my conversation with Shuku, the woman I met on the plane, after she said that she was raised to believe in nothing, I pointed out that everyone has faith in something. And I asked her again about her faith, and she said, well, I believe in myself, which was accurate. That was the truth. So then I asked her, does your faith give you peace? And she said, no. You see, the people she had trusted were wrong. The people who taught her to believe, not to believe in anything, left her to rely on herself, which left her trusting what couldn't be trusted. The truth about how faith works is that it's whom you trust, not how much, that makes the difference. Actively trusting promise as truth means trusting the promiser. When we believe a promise, we're trusting the one who made the promise. There's not something magical or even substantial in the statement of promise. The reliability of the promise depends on who's promising. On one occasion recorded in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus healed a boy after his disciples tried and failed, and they asked him about why they couldn't do it. And he told them, verse 20, because of your limited, meager faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible to you. Now, a mustard seed is very small, maybe 1 or 2 millimeters. And yet it produces a plant that can grow to 12 to 15 feet. The point Lord Jesus is making here is not that the disciples didn't have a large enough amount of faith, for even a very small amount of faith can produce what seems impossible in human terms. It matters little how strong your faith is, how big your faith is, or even how sincere your faith is. A lot of faith in someone who is wrong or dishonest won't help you even a little. But a little faith in someone who is right or dependable is enough. Trusting a promise means trusting the promiser. And the strength of your faith is not dependent on how tightly you hold on, but on how securely you're held. Let me illustrate. Some of you may have heard the name Scott Ruskin. Scott, originally from New Jersey, is a 26-year-old Coast Guard rescue swimmer. And the Coast Guard was called in early Friday morning, July 4, to help with the rescue operations in response to the devastating flooding in the Texas Hill Country when the Guadalupe River surged more than 20 feet in 90 minutes. On July 4th, Scott was deployed on his first rescue mission and was placed on the ground to get stranded people at Camp Mystic to safety. That day, he was responsible for helping to rescue 165 people by getting them to military helicopters, 10 to 15 at a time. Many of them were children, some of whom he carried, sometimes two at a time. So let me ask you a question. Did the security of those children's faith in Scott depend on how tightly they held on to him, or on how securely he held on to them? Exactly. And that's the way it is with God. When you trust God, you cling to him. But the security of your faith is in his strength, not yours. You see, the truth about faith, about the strength of faith, how faith works, is that it's whom you trust, not how much, that matters. Faith is actively trusting promise as truth. And Hebrews 11 describes multiple people through the centuries who faithed God by actively trusting his promise as truth. They took God at his word, exercising active trust with their obedience. When we obey God, we do what God says because we trust God. We trust God knows what's best, and we trust God knows what he's doing. So we follow God's direction in confident anticipation that all God declares is true, and all God promises is certain. That's the strength of faith. That's how faith works. And this matters. Faith, actively trusting the promise of God as truth because we trust God, matters. It matters because of what God does with faith, and it matters because of what we do with faith. Matthew 9:29 records that Lord Jesus said to two blind men who sought his help, "According to your faith, be it done to you." That's a sobering thought. According to your faith, be it done to you. Not according to the limitless power of God, but according to your faith, be it done to you. That's what he said. But there is good news, and learning what God does with our faith, His Spirit reveals to us that through faith, we are made right with God. It's described in multiple ways in Scripture. Through faith, we are justified, made right with Him, according to Romans 3 and 5 and Galatians 2 and 3. We're at peace with God, it says in Romans 5. Through faith, we are saved. Saved from ourselves, saved from the power of sin and death, and saved for the work of God. According to Ephesians chapter 2, we have access to grace, according to Romans 5. Through faith, we are granted the righteousness of God, according to Romans 3, 4, 9, and Philippians 3. Through faith, we are adopted as God's children, according to Galatians 3. And through faith, we are given access to God Himself, according to Ephesians 3. If being right with God is something that's important to you, you need to be clear that that's something God does, not something we could ever accomplish for ourselves. And it is what God does with our faith. Through our faith, by His grace, God makes things right between us and Him. Scripture also is clear that God delivers healing power through our faith. For example, Lord Jesus said it was because of His faith that He healed the Roman centurion's servant, Matthew chapter 8 and Luke 7. Lord Jesus said it was because of her faith that Lord healed the hemorrhaging woman in Matthew 9, Mark 5, and Luke 8. Lord Jesus has said it was because of their faith that He healed two blind men in Matthew 9, Mark 10, and Luke 18. Lord Jesus said it was because of her faith that that He healed the Canaanite woman's daughter, according to Matthew 15. Lord Jesus said it was because of His faith that He healed the man with leprosy in Luke 17. And Apostle Peter said it was because of faith that the lame beggar at the temple gate was healed. Healing is a sovereign work of God, not His submission to our demands. When we trust Him in faith, we trust Him to accomplish His sovereign will. Sometimes that means miraculous healing. And when He heals, He does so by His power through faith. With our faith, God makes us right with Him. And with our faith, sometimes God delivers healing power, and that matters to all of us. Faith also matters because of what we do with it. In Scripture, the Spirit of God calls us to live by faith in Galatians chapter 2. We're told that the righteous live by faith in Romans 1 and Galatians 3 and Hebrews 10, and we're directed to stand firm in the faith in 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 1, and to walk by faith in 2 Corinthians 5. And when we live by faith, when we act in faith, when we apply faith in our situations, we live as God intends for us to live. According to Romans 14, He created us. He knows what's best for us. And He gives us direction for how to live in a way that frees us to be fully embraced by His power and favor, which is the life for which He created us. And faith makes that possible, according to Scripture. And that matters. When we live by faith, we extinguish temptation, according to Ephesians 6. Scripture describes the devil as attacking us with temptation like burning javelins or spears, which burst into flame when they contact the ready fuel of our self-gratifying appetites and impulses. But our faith is a shield, according to Scripture, that extinguishes the fiery lances of the evil one. And that matters. When we live by faith, we participate fully in our Lord's victory over the world. 1 John 5:4 reveals, "For all that have been born of God overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And verse 1 of 1 John 5 reveals that the one born of God is the one who trusts Lord Jesus. Through faith in Lord Jesus, we overcome the world, all the powers and systems that we've created that are opposed to God. And our faith in Lord Jesus is active trust in the one who himself has overcome the world. And that matters. I want to declare to you today that I trust Lord Jesus. He said he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I trust him. When I'm trying to deal with having done something I know I shouldn't do, I trust Jesus. He said, "Your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace." I trust him. When I'm struggling to break a habit that just won't let me go, I trust Jesus. He said, "All things are possible for one who believes." I trust him. When I'm burdened by the inexplicable pain and suffering in this world, I trust Jesus. He said, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I trust him. When I'm confronted by the reality of my own mortality and need to be sure that I'm prepared for what happens after I die, I trust Jesus. He said, "Trust God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." I trust Jesus. Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I trust him. I trust Jesus. Where is your faith? Whom do you trust? Whom will you trust? As long as your attention is focused on whether or not your faith is big enough or strong enough or sincere enough, your attention is focused on you. Turn your attention to focus on the one in whom your faith can truly rely, the one in whom your faith has no limits. Lord Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you trust in him whom he has sent." Lord Jesus is the one whom God has sent. Are you willing to trust in him? Lord Jesus said, "I came that all who come to me may have life and have it abundantly." Are you ready to come to Lord Jesus for the full life of deep satisfaction and profound significance without end? Are you willing to trust in him? This morning, perhaps you have at some time in the past expressed faith in Lord Jesus, but you realize today that you've been more focused on your faith than on the one in whom your faith is invested. This morning, if you would be willing to join me in publicly declaring your faith in Lord Jesus the Messiah, the Son of the living God, in whom all things are possible, then I invite you to stand for a moment with me. Even if you declared faith in Lord Jesus at some time in the past, whether or not you've ever declared your faith in him before, if you would be willing to join me now in declaring your faith, then please stand with me now for a moment. And if you're joining us on the live stream, or if you're listening to this message later, if you're able, I invite you, when you hear this, to stand with me. And whether you're standing or not, repeat after me. I trust Lord Jesus, the Messiah. I pledge to act in obedience. to the truth he reveals. I declare my complete dependence on the absolute reliability of his promises. By his Spirit, I will actively trust his promise as truth. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, if you're burdened with the guilt of your sin, trust it to Jesus. If you're shackled to a habit that won't release you, trust it to Jesus. If you're distressed by the overwhelming pain and suffering in this world, trust it to Jesus. If you're uncertain regarding whether or not you're prepared for what happens after you die, trust it to Jesus. You can trust him. He's trustworthy. If this morning was the first time you have publicly declared your faith in Lord Jesus, then before you leave today, please come and tell me or one of the other leaders of our church. Don't leave today until you let us know. We want to pray for you. Want to share with you how you can learn more about living by faith in Jesus. If you have questions about how to trust Jesus, then be sure to talk with us before you leave. We're eager to share with you and support you in your journey of faith. Let's pray. We are grateful, Lord, that you have given us the capacity to trust. And we recognize that means that we have the capacity not to. We're grateful that you've created us in such a way that we would not somehow, as if we were pre-programmed robots, have no alternative. But we are painfully aware, and you even more so, that so often we fall far short of fully actively trusting that what you promise is truth. We confess that to you today. We acknowledge it. We say the same thing about it that you do. That is wrong. That is not the way you created us, and certainly not the path to the life you've made possible to us. We're grateful for the forgiveness you provide by grace through our faith. We're asking, Lord, that you would deepen and strengthen our understanding of the truth of faith, that we might rely on you, not ourselves, and that you would deepen our confidence, our assurance, our conviction, that even what we have not yet seen, but what you have promised, is true. And so we can live in that confidence. Anticipation. What is not yet will one day be. We give ourselves to you for that purpose. In the name of the one who made it possible. Amen.